Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
You don't know that song, don't worry about it, okay? It's by a guy named Jackson Brown. And who doesn't love Jackson Brown? Joining me from Billings, Montana is Neil Clark. You guys had, everybody had the chance to meet Brock and Jenny from the Kingfisher Lodge down in Fort Smith. And now you get another to meet another person that that helped make, in conjunction with the Bar X project, to help make last week happen. So so privileged to me, for me, to have on Neil Clark. So, Neil, thanks for coming on and doing this.
You bet. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the time. I appreciate what you do.
Talk to me about, first of all, we got to find out about you. Being Marines, we're naturally skeptical about everybody. sorry about that. It's just the way it is. And so, question, born and raised where?
Billings, Montana, and I'd be skeptical of me if I met me. So that is a very fair statement. Yeah, born and raised Billings, Montana, fourth generation Montanan. My kids are fifth generation. We've been around the state for quite a while.
So you grew up in Billings. What's your father do there? I mean, are you do you live in the city? Are you grew up on a ranch? Tell us about you, Neil.
No, I grew up in town. Both my folks were public school teachers. My dad math, and my mom fifth grade, and so yeah, that school teachers.
Nice. The so no wonder you're a smart guy. They made you study. They would
to be clear, I do not have a college degree.
You don't. Who needs one when you have parents that are really smart, right?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right.
That's what I told my parents. So you don't have a college degree. Did you go to college and decide?
I did.
I'm not. It's not for me. Or tell us.
It was. Yeah, a tough time in a young man's life. Should have joined the military along with my buddies. Didn't. And so ended up dropping out of college and buying a bicycle shop, of all things, and did that for 13 years and continued to go to college. And so I am a few credits shy of an accounting degree. I, too, enjoy numbers. And so it's... I just didn't finish it, and there were some changes. We went from a quarter system to a semester system, and all of a sudden the schedule wouldn't match up for owning a business and going to school. So that's why I didn't finish.
Now, you know what? All those things contribute to either finishing or not finishing, and they're not small deals when, especially when you all of a sudden chunk your life is used to go ahead and start a business, and then there's a few demands because normally those businesses are started as one person show. And so you don't have the same freedom that you did before you had all that. The so talk to me about being a small business owner. Was that in your blood? Is that what you wanted to do? Did you know that you made the right decision when you started doing that?
You know, that's a great question. I would probably say and mimic what my parents would say, and that is I'm the black sheep of the family. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that can relate to that. I'm not like everyone else. And so even though I was raised the same as my siblings, I was just different. And I got to give my folks a lot of credit. They never told me I couldn't do something. In fact, it was the opposite. They said, you can do anything you want to do. And if there's anything you want, you can have it. You just have to figure out how to pay for it yourself. And that caused me to get a work ethic. So I would get up in the morning. I would go door to door and ask if I could shovel snow. I would mow lawns. I would do anything I could do from about as early as I can recall. Probably at 6 and 7 years old, I was out there knocking on doors, sold flower seeds to the neighbors. I mean, I just didn't care. Whatever I could do to earn a buck. And one thing led to another. And next thing you know, I was in business.
Wow. So talk to me. So initially you owned the bicycle store.
I did.
And then from there, where do you go?
Well, you know, this is a real smooth transition. So from the bicycle store, I purchased a moving company with another buddy of mine.
And of course, isn't that where everybody goes after they own a bicycle store?
Well, it was at the same time. So it was in conjunction with owning a bicycle store. And then I jumped into owning some commercial real estate since I had my own store. It's like, well, I may as well own my own location. And had a little strip center with four different businesses in it. And then So this friend of mine who I had the moving business with said, you need to look at this ATM business. And back in 1996, surcharging was just becoming legal. Hard to remember back that far, but we looked at it, and it took me a couple years to decide that that was the business I wanted to jump into, and sold the bicycle business, and we got into the ATM business. And from there, we figured out pretty quickly where we would literally be the best in the world, and we worked through that and grew that business to be the largest privately held ATM business in the world, and still is today. I'm out of it completely at this point. I've retired from that business twice now. And so I mostly today just manage my commercial properties and a little bit of oil and gas and miscellaneous interests.
All right. So talk to us about I meet you in conjunction with the Bar X project. How do you cross path with those guys?
You know, that's a great question. And so James Moran, who's been on this and one of the founders, he when he got out of the Marines, he got into the ATM business. And guess who he worked with? My company. And so his sales guy is Rob Lowe, and Rob's family owns the Bar X Ranch outside of Billings. And so I think your listeners have heard that story about how that came to be. Been great friends with the Lowe family and great friends with James Moran and his family. And that's how the dots connected. And I kept saying, hey, James, if you'd ever like to do an additional trip, I think I have a place that could work. It's a little place up at Canyon Ferry, and we could host there. I love to cook and would be happy to do that. So he finally took me up on it. It took a few years, and he finally took me up on it and said, okay, Neil, if you're real serious about this, let's see if we can do a trip. And next thing I know, we had a group of Marines at the lake house, and we held our first trip. So that was 3 years ago.
So what made you want to do this?
I've got a lot of friends that have been in multiple different branches of the military obviously all the different branches. And, I didn't join. I have some regrets about not joining. But then when I hear about some of the struggles that the people who are protecting me and my rights are having, I thought there's got to be a way I can help and that I can give back. And That was the premise. It's like, well, how do I play a role here? How can I help move the ball forward and be part of the solution and not part of the problem? And so that's why.
So how many years have you been hosting these trips? Did you say three, or how many? How long have you been doing them?
Well, this is the third trip that we just completed here this last weekend. And so this is the third year. So not very long. I think James has been doing it with Rob for 10 years or so, and maybe longer even.
Got it. What do you enjoy most about it?
Oh, meeting the people. Oh, my. These guys actually become friends. And I'm sure they're looking at me thinking, oh, what kind of cult is Neil selling? And I'm not selling anything. That's not it. I am there to serve. And it fills my tank. It's amazing that I get to walk away with a full tank after a little bit of serving. And that's really all I want to do. I want to get to meet these guys, but I want to be a fly on the wall. It's not my program. I am literally just a host. I want to host. I want to cook food. I want to serve. And I want to honor these guys that have worked so hard to protect me.
And, you know, I have had had a few interesting conversations, but this year is different because of the inclusion of, you know, I meet James because James driving around filling ATMs and running his business has a little bit of time on the road and listens to podcasts and ran across All Marine Radio, heard about the concepts in post-traumatic winning and called me and said, hey, Mac, it'd be cool, or I'd like to explore, you know, making you a part of what we do because – we believe that there's another step that we could take, and it sounds like what you do would lend itself perfectly to what we do. And so I'd be curious your observations about that. Do you think after seeing it, and second of all, I mean, first of all, your thoughts about, you know, you saw post-traumatic winning, and I think like most people, you quickly noticed that, hey, this is not just for them. This applies to everybody in this room. So I'd be curious about your thoughts about that. How did the post-traumatic winning piece change the weekend?
Well, it was significant. And so I'm gonna back up to a year ago. The group tries to get together and discuss, hey, what went right? What went wrong? How can we improve? What are things we don't want to change? And so we get to talk about all of that. And one of the pieces that that came out for me a year ago was that, hey, we need to have some kind of a facilitator, if nothing else. Where the healing happens is when these guys start to talk and share their stories, and they don't really know how to do that. And we need some help in leading that process. And the XO who was with us this week did a great job of that. And I think you even saw some of the, or heard some of the questions that he asked, did a wonderful job with that.
All right.
But I was just saying, hey, if we had a pro, how much better do you think these guys would get? And so to have you come in, and that's kind of where it ended up was.
So I was the pro.
Well, you were the pro with the program. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just thought I was just being me.
Well, you are. And that's exactly right. But you were the help that we needed. So when these guys come in, they've actually got now a real program to experience. And they can say, it is not just how this relates to me and how I can relate to the trauma I've experienced. But you took it the step further, and this is exactly what everybody needs. And it's, I now have to help others. Whether they've been in the military or not, everyone's had some kind of trauma, and now they have the tools and the wherewithal to go help others. And it changes the game. And they, like you've referenced, you go from good to great. So complete game changer as far as I'm concerned.
I was not privy. I didn't know that you guys roundtable this and that was one of the comments. I just thought by coincidence James listened to it and that's how that came about. Interesting.
Well, now I want to clarify a little bit.
Sure.
You weren't exactly what we had talked about.
Right.
So I think you were the right answer. But we were looking for something, or at least I was articulating that we should take this up a notch and add someone here who knows what they're doing. And I was looking at the outside world for that help. And you are the right fit because you come from within their world and have the stories to tell. You're perfect for it.
Well, you know, interesting, all three groups this past week, I was in either Iraq and Afghanistan when they were. And so it's, you know, you start having these conversations and you're saying, hey, were you at the pizza slice? Were you at the Dead Dog Corner? Were you at the Blue Mosque? And it's all these places that we know. And so for me, it's really cool. For me, because, you know, I watch these guys. I was part of, you know, what this 1st Marine Division was doing there. I was part of what the 1st Marine Regiment was doing in Afghanistan in 2010. And that was when the guys that were at the Kingfisher Lodge, that's when they were there. And so with every group, I shared their experience from a different perspective, a different place. But, I mean, I think that helped. In creating what you guys had already created was an incredible intimacy by virtue of the way that you guys have put this together. And the intimacy starts with bringing together guys who've already served together. And that's one. And then what Neil is a part of is creating this environment where it's just as, first of all, the natural beauty of Montana. I don't know that there's a prettier state in the country. You know, I've been told Alaska, but I've never been there. I mean, I've flown there, but I've never been spent a whole lot of time there. But you know, Montana is just this beautiful, beautiful place. And so that's first. The next thing is they're staying in, you know, Neil's home is beautiful there on the lake, and then the food is phenomenal. So the only thing you're doing is enjoying this incredible experience. And it's great on top of great on top of great on top of great on top of great. And so, you know, that's what you create, Neil, is this incredible environment for the rest of that stuff to take place in. And then I remember, were you on the phone call that I was a part of a few months ago?
Yes. Back in March.
Right. I tell a funny story. So James calls me and he and I talk. Mm-hmm. And then he says, I'd like to set up a call and you could talk to the board. And he said, are you good with that? And I said, absolutely, man. And so he says, you know, introduce me. We all do the introduction thing. And then he says, okay, Mac, you have the floor. And I think I spoke for 17 minutes without taking a breath, because what I knew was I had friends, a guy named Tim Lynch, who's a friend of mine, who had gone to a veterans weekend. And he had told me that I had to get involved in them. He said, the piece you're missing is, you know, so they have this great experience, and then you leave, and then it's almost like a little bit of depression kicks in because that's not part of your life anymore. And, you know, we all lament that. And he said, and so when James, I had spoken to somebody about doing this, but they couldn't do it because the VA funds their stuff. And so I thought, okay, it's got to be somebody who's doing this privately. And so, but the piece that you guys, that makes you guys so incredible, is these guys all served together. And he told me about that. And he said, Mac, you should see the scene at the airport. Some of these guys haven't seen each other since they were in country, because guys got wounded. When the unit came home, you know, they weren't able to get there because they were still in the hospital. And then guys left. They got discharged from the Marine Corps. They went to other units. And they've never crossed paths. And I just gave me goosebumps thinking about that. This group that you fought with, that you have these relationships, you haven't seen each other in that long. What must the airport be like? And then as that got in my head, I knew, because of my work with post-traumatic winning, I know what it does. I know the power of it. I know how it resonates. And so when I started my 17-minute vision and telling these guys what was going to happen, then I stopped talking and nobody said a word. And I was like, hello? And they're like, oh, we're here. And then we started having a conversation about it. But then to see it like happen, right? To see it happen, to see, you know, and to hear the things that God said by these guys who now felt like, as Neil said, they do have the tools and this incredible life-changing experience that you guys create, Neil. I mean, I would imagine that you're still on a high from that.
Oh, there's just no question. It really does fill my tank. And so, you know, my tank's full for another year, although I could continue to top it off if there were more opportunities to provide for more groups. It's just a blast. And it is a game changer having these guys show up knowing each other. There's camaraderie that's instantly reestablished and you don't have to start over. They've got a pecking order that they brought with them. You don't have to start that over. So it's just not a contest to see, you know, who's the biggest and baddest.
Do you have a favorite part? I mean, you've seen this now for 3 years. Do you have a favorite part of it? Let me just tell you, Neil can cook, just so for anybody who doesn't, I mean, the food is off the hook. And it doesn't matter. We had tacos. What else do we have?
Well, we had smoked brisket with some smoked baby potatoes and fresh whipped cream with berries and angel food cake. And I think last year I did smoked peaches with a dab of butter and some cinnamon and nutmeg and fresh cream. I mean, there's just lots of fun stuff that we like to cook.
Yeah, let me just tell you. And I went to three of these during the week, and I told everybody, I don't think I've eaten, with all respect to my dearly departed mother, I don't know that I've ever eaten that well in a week of my life, because everywhere you go, it's this incredible environment that is extremely conducive for nothing but having a good time, relaxing, and talking and reconnecting with each other. And then I do believe that with the addition of post-traumatic winning, you know, and you know, guys came up to me. And the other thing that's different for me is normally when I do this, I tend to do it with larger groups. And then when they're done, you know, some stay to talk and others stay to leave. Well, when I'm done here, I just hang out with them. And then throughout the course of the day, they come up and they want to talk. And I'm having lunch with somebody tomorrow who was up there, who shot me a text message and said, hey, Matt, could we have lunch this week? And I said, absolutely we can. And so so it's already begetting greater things. And so but again, it comes from they sit down there, and for a lot of them, out of post-traumatic winning, they hear stuff they've never heard in their life. Some things they may have thought about, like, well, maybe this. But most of us, and I don't care who you are, if you're in the military or not, you know, we go through traumatic stuff, and then people give us advice, and rarely do people specifically connect with a therapist. And so you do it for a short period of time, and then you migrate away, and then you're kind of really figuring out it on your own, and you're kind of groping your way through the darkness. And then all of a sudden somebody walks in and flips on the light on and says, if you do these things, you can go live up here. And then to hang out later and to hear them tell you stories about their life, or Jesus really resonated with me because of this. And it's just, for me, it was really cool. And then the XO, Edward, facilitated kind of a roundtable discussion at the end of the night. And I thought did a great job with that. And you could see them feeling more and more comfortable about talking about more and more things that they probably hadn't talked about with anybody in their lives.
That was my favorite part when you ask, was that evening. I'm just going to call it a process group for lack of better terms. So where these guys, they just get asked a couple of conversational questions, and it's for some, it kind of rips the scab off the wound, and for others, it's way more healing. But ultimately, it's a healing experience. And so I want to comment just a little bit on that. A really wise man told me once that, you know, Neil, 100% of the people need psychotherapy in their life. And most of us can't afford that. So if you'll put together a group of guys that you meet with regularly, you won't need to do the psychotherapy. And so for almost 30 years, I've had a group of guys, and I just call them my board of directors. We meet every Monday morning, and we just talk about the problems of life and the things, the crazy things that come our way, and how do we deal with them. And I think that's the only thing that's probably kept me out of the loony bin. And these guys are now experiencing it. They've fought together in battle, and now they've got a group of themselves that can come together with similar experiences, and they can talk about, hey, how do we process this and get through it?
Well, and then, you know, the other thing that, you know, I say in post-traumatic winning is that, you know, if whatever you do with a therapist, do with somebody, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your board of directors, do the same thing with them. Because I don't know, as Neil rightly said, I don't know anybody who has an enduring relationship with a therapist. But that activity is extremely important to live in a great life. The ability to be able to talk about it with people who care about you, the people who won't judge you, people who are standing there to help you. And if you can do that, right, which is the thing that fights isolation, right, you can get through, yep, you can get through just about anything. Because the other thing I say in the presentation repeatedly is the facing movement that gets you in front of the door that leads to really bad thing is really bad things is isolation. And so, you know, you meet things, and Neil essentially just said the same thing. And so I think the presentation affirms a lot of things that people already think, and then all of a sudden somebody is presenting it in a way that you haven't seen it before. But I agree with you. The cherry on top was at the end when guys are starting to, you know, do these things, and they're starting to talk about things that they haven't talked about. And, you know, to be able to sit there and do that is, I mean, it's healing for the soul. And then the other thing is, you know, is essentially for people that are religious, it's a very Christian, it's a very Muslim, it's a very, you know, Buddhist message with his selfless devotion, you know, to others. And so the people that are religious all pick up on that. And then the people that aren't religious just know that, hey, look, the path to a better place is helping other people, is giving. And so then at the end of the night, you hear them begin to talk about those things. One's a former law enforcement guy, one's current, and they started talking about that they could help other people in their own, you know, law enforcement communities. And then I won't name names, but, you know, one guy was pretty quiet, and he said, he said this downstairs. He said, this could not have come at a better time in my life. The things we're doing here, the things we're talking about, I really needed to be here, and I really needed to learn this stuff. And I just can't believe what I've learned this week. And so, I mean, you talk about literally a beautiful weekend in a beautiful home that Neil opens up to everybody with incredible food, right? Guy fly fishing in beautiful Montana, and then beautiful things, you know, happening relative to extremely difficult experiences they had in combat. And now they see the path. Now they see the role of giving in their lives in terms of their experiences. And it's just great on top of great on top of great on top of great. And the custodian of the environment is the guy that's the other part of this interview. So how do you guys do more of it? You guys got to get off to the fundraising thing.
Yeah. And I think that's happening. I'm encouraged by it. But you're right. We've got to raise a little bit more money in order to scale the program. But Well, those discussions are happening.
What's interesting is every one of the guys connected with BarX told me the same thing. I said, so what do you think? And just so you, everybody knows, this is the kind of people they are, right?
We're all volunteer. None of us take a dime out of this.
Right.
All of us support the program. And so it's not like, hey, here's a paid vacation for us. That isn't it. None of us are doing it that way.
Every one of them said, we've got to do more. Having seen this and knowing that our instincts were right about this and watching and listening, we've got to figure out a way to do more. And so, I mean, I'll tell you what, that's straight up exciting because we have endured, I could just say as a community, we've endured these destructive behaviors now, suicide, alcoholism, divorce, all, you know, the rate of imprisonment. We've watched this impact people we love. And so now to look at it and say, okay, you know, there's a way that we can turn this around is pretty intoxicating. And I will say this, you know, you guys have, you know, knocked it out of the park, in my opinion. And I can't tell you how thrilled I was to be a part of it, Neil, and to watch all of that. And so you guys need to get off your dead asses and raise some money and let's do this more often.
Well, perfect. I agree. I think it's a great deal, great opportunity. And Mike, you're playing a role in this now too. So it's not a us versus you, it's all of us. And we're all in it together and we want to help others get well so they can get going. And that's kind of the role we're all playing. It's exciting. And by the way, I play such a minor role. I'm a host. So I'm thrilled that you would think I'm any kind of part of this thing.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, that environment, it's warm, it's safe, it's people that are there to help. And I mean, you can see, I mean, Marines tend to be normal human beings, right?
Sure.
And you know, they're hardworking, you know, guys who are living their lives, and then they show up and somebody goes that far out of their way. It's not lost on them. And I mean, hell, I didn't even sleep in the sheets, man. I slept on top of the covers in my bed, you know. But no, I mean, it's that environment is absolutely critical. Okay, let me ask you one final question. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you during this 34 minutes about the weekend, about what you guys are doing that you want to make sure people hear?
It's not a cult. It's not a cult. We're not here proselytizing. Although I am a follower of Jesus, that's not the core of what's being talked about. It may have some motivation for me, but that's not it. So those who get invited, who happen to tune into this podcast and listen, it's not a scary place. That nothing weird is going on. There's no weird rituals
we're not sacrificing anybody or anything.
There's no hazing. There's nothing weird. Hey, you get to show up with your buddies and reconnect with them and learn how to get well and then learn how to help others get well. That's the key. And doing it in a great place, great atmosphere, and in the spirit of, hey, we can go out and have fun together because we think fun is required. It's a cool opportunity to go have fun.
No.
And most of these guys, the last time they saw each other was probably in combat or certainly in a combat situation. Now, having not been in a military style combat, but some, you know, fist fights, I suppose, when I was younger, it's not a fun environment to be in where this is different. And so the one thing that I noticed the very first year is all the guys that came together said, we've never been in a situation where we're going to have fun together and not have it be an intense battle. So it's a completely different type of atmosphere. So there you go.
All right. So first of all, tell everybody where your place is located, so everybody knows. It's just outside of Helena. And what is the lake there? Is it Lake Helena?
It's called Canyon Ferry, and Canyon Ferry is a reservoir. It's on the Missouri River, so Lewis and Clark came right by there in the early 1800s on their expedition. It's some beautiful country. It's a 27-mile long body of water and a couple miles across. So lots of recreational opportunities, although this particular time we didn't make time to get out on the water, but in years past we've jet skied and surfed and wakeboarded and skied and all the usual boating stuff that we can do there. It's 20 minutes from the Helena Airport where everyone flies into, and we're real close. So paved road all the way there.
Paved road. There you go. You know you're talking to somebody from Montana when he says paved road the whole way there.
Well, my wife sure thinks it's remote. Because it is 20 minutes out of town, it takes us, 20 minutes to get to Costco. But for some folks, that's not very remote because, you are on pavement all the way, and except for the last 100 feet. It's a great location, mid-state. Helena is the capital of the state. So there's just lots there and great recreational opportunities.
No, I'll tell you what. I will attest to that. It's absolutely gorgeous. Neil, first of all, thank you very much for doing this. Thank you for what you did last week. On behalf of a lot of Marine leaders everywhere that will never meet you, God bless you for what you do for people who I would tell you are the most courageous and selfless people I've ever been around in my life. Mm-hmm. And just thank you. God bless you. And I can't wait to do this again. Hopefully our paths will cross in September when I head back up to Montana. And then thank you very much for doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. You're playing an important role, and keep it up.
Awesome. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Now, when I say great on top of great on top of great on top of great, you get a sense of what I'm talking about. It's just selfless people that care and are willing to extend themselves for people who have served this country, in this case have fought for it, and are still dealing with the impact of that whole experience in their life. And so it's a dream come true for post-traumatic winning to find a partner in this area that gets it, that brings people together, I think, the way they should be brought together. And that's, if you can get a group of people you served with. And then an awesome environment. And then hopefully giving them the tools that they can use to go back home and use their traumatic experiences to relate to other people that have been impacted by trauma, and in changing their lives, they transform their own life. And they do that over and over and over again, and they do begin to transform trauma into joy. They actually overwhelm trauma with joy. So technically, you can't convert one to the other, but I like the way it sounds. And it's guys like Neil and guys like people like Brock and Jenny Bodecker that were instrumental in helping all this. And then you meet them, they're just such wonderful people. It's and like I said, kind of towards the end of the interview with Neil, I mean, if you've been around the military for the last 20 years, you know what a struggle it's been to come home and to live the high life, which is the reason why this song is playing. And I'll relate it to you know, I'll relate it to a little piece of audio, you know, that Jack Riley says, right? And that little piece of audio is which is I thought I would find it. I'm such a bozo, man. What the hell do I do with this stuff? Oh, Mac, look in downloads. Don't forget that. That might actually be where it is because you downloaded this son of a bitch yesterday. And lo and behold, it's not in there. But anyway, maybe this is it. Yeah, this little, you know, when Jack Riley says, you know, it's our responsibility to live our lives, right, in a manner that respects those who don't get to live theirs. You know, that's what the high life's about, right? That's what, but you know what? It's hard because nobody teaches you how to do this, you know, and there's more than a lot, there's more than enough people that will, that want to numb you and your symptoms. But I would tell you the secret is transformation, getting to that point where you experience more joy than trauma. And you could say, yeah, you know, I wish I didn't have that in my life. But, yeah, but I've taken it and I've done, I think, as good as I can do with it. And I believe that honors the people that I was with. And I've transformed my own life and the lives of a lot of other people. And that's about as, that's as good as you can do. And that's all you can ask of somebody. So today's a little bit of a tribute to people that made that happen. And next week you'll hear from a few more. And so in an effort to convince you that you can do this too in your community or wherever. So on a Wednesday hump day, and let me just tell you, my day is going to be awesome today because here in a little bit, I'll meet with one of the guys that I was up in Montana with. Who lives in Southern California and who said, hey, Mac, I'd love to have lunch with you and talk to you about some stuff going on and maybe work with you and whatnot. And so, as I said, great on top of great on top of great on top of great on top of great. So I want to thank Brock and Jenny for coming on, Bo Decker, and then... again, people think I'm joking when I talk about I have a phobia once I screw a name up. It's no shit, man. I do. I get... So, anyway. Bo Decker. And then Neil Clark for coming on. Just as you can see, awesome people. And let me tell you, and so I think you can see the genesis of my comments on Monday about shut the TV off, man. I mean, that stuff will take care of itself. In the crazy cities run by crazy people, they'll learn lessons about why we do have police forces. No doubt about it. Maybe a few things they do innovatively might help. But by and large, policing exists in its current form because it's necessary. Okay? And to make a final point, that I made at the start of the show, you know, I wish I wasn't bothered by the fact that athletes kneel down and whatnot, but I am. But I am. I know it's a right that this country has the First Amendment, but before somebody kneels down, I would hope they would consider that 7,052, as of today, Americans have been killed since 2001 fighting our wars. 53,243 have been wounded. Those are DOD statistics as of July 20th. Isn't there a better way? Isn't there a better way to make your point? And I would ask you to also investigate the numbers. Go to the Washington Post website. Go to the FBI's website and look at the numbers. And I think, for me, right, 7,052 families in this country mourn the loss of family members, all buried underneath that American flag. Maybe we should have video of every one of those events. And maybe we should put it in front of the American people's faces all the time. And then maybe this social media driven country would begin to understand how lucky they are to live here. But that's just me. Right? But my question is, isn't there a better way to do that? I think there is. Anyway, on Wednesday, have a great day. All Marine Radio, over and out.